When she finished blocking in the other letters, Anya examined her handiwork. She'd manipulated the letters, bringing them into the center of the 5x5 grid in a coil. It looked right, and it felt right, but there was only one way to be sure. She started with the first line of letters, reminding herself to reverse the direction of the progression of letters in the rows and columns. The substitution rules on the corners of rectangles were still in effect.
Venice!
Anya's excitement soared. According to Pietro, Mario's investigation into whatever prize he'd been chasing had also begun in Italy, specifically at Vatican City. She knew she had to be on the right track. Mario had left a trail for her to follow. She worked the translations on the other lines quickly. She divided the letters one more time to get the answer.
St. Mark's Books.
A bookstore in Venice would make sense, given all the history that had passed through that city. Just one could offer a treasure trove. Anya turned her attention to the final line of code.
Mjolnir.
There was only one Mjolnir that Anya could think of. Mjolnir was the name of the enchanted hammer carried by Thor, the god of thunder in Norse mythology. Anya sat back to think about what the message meant. The Vikings had impacted many countries during their travels. Most people remembered them for carnage and destruction, but mostly the Vikings were explorers and traders. They carried their culture to many places and brought home culture from others to integrate into their own society. Opening her computer, Anya hooked up the mini-satellite receiver and got online. Googling St. Mark's Books in Venice, she immediately got a hit. Going to the webpage, she discovered that it was a small bookstore specializing in history, maps, and walking tours of Venice. The webpage was attractive, looking like sepia-toned parchment. Business hours were from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. The time in the corner of Anya's computer screen showed it was currently 1:18 p.m. Italy was 6 hours ahead of New York, making it after 7 there. She decided she'd call first thing the next day when the store reopened. She was frustrated but pleased to have a lead. Anya exited the page and logged on to alt.archaeology and posted a message.
I'm looking for information regarding Thor's hammer, Mjolnir, and any specific ties it might have had to Riga, Latvia. Anything would be helpful at this point.
She signed it Hammer Hunter and left a matching post at alt.archaeology.esoterica. Then she pulled up the Google search engine in hopes of scoring something to provide leverage with Doug Morrell. Chasing History's monsters had deeper pockets than she did. Running for her life was expensive. Plus, if the trail led from Venice to Riga, as she thought it might, searching for Mario's killers was going to be even more costly. Doug was a sucker for vampire stories. He masqueraded as one from time to time. She typed in Vampires Venice and hit search. Sitting cross-legged on the hotel bed, Anya gazed out at the gray afternoon sky. The weather had worsened and snow flurries rode the wind. Her call with Doug was trouble, as usual. Anya couldn't believe she hadn't been able to find even one credible-sounding legend about vampires in Venice. She was reaching, but it would have to be ghosts.
You missed the meeting this morning, Anya.
Sorry, I forgot.
You forget a lot.
Look, did the phantom shark turn out okay?
It turned out okay. He's got some tweaking to do to finalize it, but the concept has been approved.
Well, that's good.
That's good? You hate the shark.
Did I say that?
Yesterday, yes.
I must have been having a bad day. Look, Doug, I thought maybe we could have a drink.
A drink?
Yes, a drink and some conversation.
But aren't we having a conversation now?
The phone's impersonal.
It's also easier to say no over the phone.
You could say yes.
I think no is safer.
You haven't even heard me out yet.
I don't want to. I find it very hard to tell you no in person.
Listen, you're going to love this.
Give me a sneak preview.
I'll see you at Sherlock's in an hour.
I'll still be at work.
I'm getting you out of the office. You should thank me.
No, because if you were sure about this story, you'd email me and we'd set it up.
We don't always do the stories I want to do.
What about the Calusa Indian thing? I had to dig into the budget to make that happen.
Meet me. 3 o'clock. Sherlock's.
Now that that was out of the way, it was time for Anya to finally get around to that bath.
You're not saying much, Wolfram.
Schluter gazed at his grandmother at the other end of the long dining table. She'd placed Garin Braden at the head, which was Wolfram's traditional spot when entertaining. Meanwhile, his grandmother sat at the man's left, fawning over him so much that Schluter thought he'd be sick. Dinner had been an elegant affair, unlike any that Schluter had seen in months. There hadn't been much cause for celebration for a long time. The dwindling family fortune was making their already strained relationship even worse.
I was just listening, Grandmother.
Actually, he had spent the meal fantasizing about pulling out a pistol and shooting Garin Braden between the eyes. He didn't know how much his grandmother had told the man about the Riga problem, but he was sure more than enough. He'd told her he would take care of it, and he would. It was just going to take longer than he'd expected.
Besides, I can see that you've got a lot of catching up to do. If you don't need me, I think I'll go into town.
If you wish.
Then I'll see you in the morning.
Garin, perhaps you would like to retire to the study. We'll be more comfortable continuing our conversation there.
I'll meet you there in a moment. First, I just want to get a breath of fresh air.
Back in his room, Schluter opened the safe in the floor and removed a stack of money. He took a disposable cell phone from his pocket and dialed Dieter Humbrecht. Schluter closed the safe and tucked the money into his jacket pocket.
Hello?
It's me. Have you found the woman or the package?
We know where she's going to be in the next hour or so. Klaus managed to get a listening device into the office of the woman's boss.
He's not her boss, he's her producer.
He's also meeting her for a drink. We'll be there as well.
Will she have the package?
We hope so. She told him over the phone that she wants to discuss something with him. What else could it be? You should know that the police are looking for us.
They've identified you?
Yes.
How?
We don't know yet, but we are taking a chance by staying here.
Don't get caught, Dieter. And keep me apprised of the situation.
Garin Braden was standing outside the main house when Schluter arrived there. Schluter had the immediate feeling that the man had been waiting for him. Ignoring the man, Schluter started down the steps to his car.
Wolfram.
A spark of intense fear shot through Schluter, but it was almost instantly replaced by anger.
What do you want?
A moment of your time, if I may.
Make it quick.
I like your grandmother. I just wanted you to know that if anyone hurts her, I'll kill him.
It took all of Schluter's willpower not to draw his pistol and shoot the bastard where he stood. Instead, he stepped up to him, feeling vaguely foolish as he tilted his head back to look up into Braden's face.
Well, I've got a newsflash for you. I don't know why my grandmother felt it necessary to call you here, but if you try to take over my operation, I'll kill you.
Ever notice the way a little dog makes a lot of noise, but when you kick it, it's still just a little dog?
Schluter made himself turn away and walk to his car. He was going to deal with first things first, but the matter of Garin Braden had just moved up onto Schluter's top 10 list.